We're back in the book of Philippians as we've been progressing our way through. And the last time we were together, I encouraged you, press on to know the Lord. Put Christ first in your heart and your life. You'll never be disappointed. The Bible says, if you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He'll look after the other things. And it's a place of trusting God. It's trusting Him no matter what happens. And sometimes we can get setbacks in our lives. Sometimes we can get circumstances that hit us right between the eyes. And we just don't know how we can continue. But I want you to know that God is faithful. I want you to know when you put your hand in His hand, He doesn't let go. He holds on and He carries you. And He takes you through the circumstances and trials. And we can trust Him. We can trust Him when things go south. Because He's God. And He knows best. And oftentimes the very hard circumstances that we go through life, God always has a purpose in it. The Bible says in Romans 8:28 that all things will work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. That He'll take the hard things and He'll bring something good out of it. That He'll take that which seems to crush us but actually enable us to grow. And Jesus, of course, gave that example. He said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it actually dies, then it's going to produce a lot more grain. And so God sometimes brings us to the death of ourselves, not physical death necessarily, but death in our abilities, death in our strength, so that we must rely on God's strength. He's a lot better at being God than you are. So, sometimes we think we've got everything under control. I got it all figured out. And then, bang, you get sidewinded, right? But the Lord is able to meet you in the midst of every circumstance. And the Apostle Paul encouraged us to walk with those whose mind was in following God. We saw last week that there are many who he said, I tell you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Because our citizenship, it says, is in heaven, in which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able to subdue all things to Himself. And so, my beloved and longed-for brothers, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord. Beloved, what I want to talk for a few minutes today about is what it says in this passage. It says here that our citizenship is in heaven. If you accept Christ as your Savior, if you welcome Him into your life, and I'm not talking about joining a church or quitting a church, I'm not talking about getting baptized, I'm not talking about saying lots of prayers. I'm saying you need to acknowledge that you're a sinner, which I think everybody should be on pretty good ground there, and acknowledge that you need the salvation that God offers to you through Jesus. And a simple prayer of faith where you receive Christ into your life, it's a personal thing. I can't do it for my children. I can encourage them, I can point them the way, but I can't make my children into Christians. A Christian is someone who has said, I personally receive Jesus Christ into my life. I accept what He did on the cross for me. I mean, the devil knows Jesus died on the cross, doesn't he?
Yes.
He was there when it happened, right? I mean, he was involved in it. He entered, the Bible says, into Judas Iscariot and had Jesus betrayed. So you're not going to get any points for knowing that Jesus died on the cross. The question is, do you have enough faith to believe that He died for you? That He paid for your sins, that your sins were all punished on Jesus Christ so you don't have to be punished. Now that's pretty good news. If it's true that Christ paid for all my sins, and when I land at the gate of heaven, what is it that could keep me out of heaven? Anybody tell me, what would keep me out of heaven?
Sin.
Sin, that's right. Oh, by the way, congratulations on your win yesterday in the volleyball tournament. Yeah, I forgot to mention that. Yeah, awesome. Sin is what keeps us out of heaven. And Jesus said this in John chapter 8, if you die in your sins, you can't come where I am. So God takes sin seriously. He can't let sin into heaven. If he let one sin into heaven, guess what would happen to heaven? It'd be the same mess we got going down here. Because it only took one sin to start the mess down here. So he's not letting one sin in. Now that should cause a lot of us concern. Because I think most of us have at least committed one, maybe two, in our lifetime. So what do we do about such a thing? If God can't let any sin into his heaven, then either we have to pay for it, and that is not a good picture, friends, or God had one other alternative, and that was to send his son, Jesus Christ, from heaven to go to the cross and die for our sins. That he paid for your sins on the cross. What does he want us to do? To be willing to turn from sin. I know a lot of times we don't have the power. Be willing to turn from sin and receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. When you do that, when you personally make that decision, Lord, I'm the sinner. I need to be saved. I don't want to die in my sins. I want to receive you into my heart. When you call on his name, the Bible says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If it's a man who's in prison for doing horrible things, he can call on the name of the Lord and be saved while he still has breath. If it's a prince in a palace, if he will call on the name of the Lord with true repentance, he will be saved. If it's anyone in this building, if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Calling on the name of the Lord simply means that you're asking Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, and he will. See, a person could go to church all their life and still not be a Christian. You know, you've heard the old saying, you know, if you go to McDonald's, you don't turn into a hamburger, right? Well, if you go to a church, that doesn't turn you into a Christian. There are plenty of people who go to church who are not Christians. That's the truth. Now, real Christianity is a relationship with the living God that we have through Jesus Christ, who took all the punishment that needs to be taken for our sins, and what he asks of you is to believe him, to actually believe for yourself. See, I've talked to a lot of people, and I says, are you sure you're going to heaven? Oh, nobody can know that. How could anybody be sure they're going to heaven? And I said, well, I'm sure. Well, you must think you're good. And you know my answer is, oh no, I'm not good. I would never think I could get to heaven by my goodness. I don't have enough of that. Jesus is good. And I'm trusting in his goodness. He's the Savior, after all. It's not me. He's the one that died on the cross, not me. I can't save myself, neither can you. If you could save yourself, why would he die on a cross? If you could be good enough to go to heaven without Jesus, well, he wasted his time. He could have, you know, he would have said, well, why do I bother doing this? They can get there on their own. But because it was absolutely impossible for you to get to heaven on your own, Jesus Christ had to go there to the cross for you. And if you receive him, you'll have eternal life. That's not complicated. That's the good news. After all, the word gospel means good news. But I can tell you this, for 20 some years, I had not a foggy clue what that good news was. I didn't. Whether I went to church when I was younger, then I decided I was an atheist, but none of it made any sense to me. I couldn't understand why anybody even bothered talking about some guy that died 2,000 years ago on a cross. So what? That's 2,000 years ago. What's that got to do with me? But when I discovered that he was the Son of God, when I discovered that he came to take the punishment for my sins, and when I saw my own sin and my need of being saved, I cried out to the Lord in 1978, and I've known ever since that I'm going to heaven. And it's not because I've been better than anybody else. I'm worse than most of you, I can tell you that. It's because He died for my sins. He did this. But he did it for all of us. But we need to take that step of faith. And when we do, the Bible tells us that our citizenship is in heaven. A citizen of heaven. Imagine that. Newfoundland became part of Canada in 1949. I got dear friends who are Newfoundlanders. I mean, they've just got in a car accident. They're recovering. I hope to see them back to church soon. But before that, before 1949, what citizenship did they have? Does anybody know? They were British citizens because Newfoundland was a British colony. right? So they had the rights and privileges of being a British citizen. But they didn't have the rights and privileges of being a Canadian citizen. But then Joey Smallwood, who was the premier of Newfoundland, decided and encouraged and made the great decision as the colony of Newfoundland, and Britain agreed to it, that Newfoundland would become part of Canada. So guess what happened when that happened? What's that? They became Canadian citizens, but they also had to do something else. They lost their British citizenship. Yeah. They had to renounce their British citizenship, and they became Canadian citizens. So they became part of this country. And that meant they got all the rights and the privileges and probably some other things they didn't want out of the bargain, right? But they were no longer British citizens once that transaction was done. Friends, when you become a Christian, you are no longer a citizen of sin and a citizen of going the world's way. You're no longer a citizen of this world spiritually. You become a citizen of heaven. Isn't that what it says?
Yeah.
Our citizenship is in heaven. Isn't that amazing? That you've got, I don't know if you got your heavenly passport or not, but you've got a passport so that when you go into a country, like if I decided to go into the U.S. right now, what would I need to get in the country?
Passport.
But I could only visit with that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if I'm an American citizen and I show up with that American citizenship card, can they keep me out of the country?
No.
They have to take me in. Even if we're scoundrels, Jean-Paul. They have to take you in. Even if the guy at the gate doesn't like you. They have to take you in. Because you're a citizen of that country. And now we have the Apostle Paul outlining for us, explaining to us that we have our citizenship in heaven. A citizenship in heaven, so that when we get to the so-called pearly gates, and I want you to know something, as much as you've heard and thought and all these jokes are about St. Peter at the gate deciding who's getting in and who's getting out, that's not in the Bible. Peter's not at the gate deciding who's getting in or get out. Jesus is. He's the one. He said all judgment has been given to the Son. All authority belongs to Jesus Christ. He's the one that's at the gate, and he's the one that decides who's going in and who's going out. But let me tell you something. The decision will already be made before you leave this world. The decision will already be made because you have the privilege right now of knowing and accepting the citizenship that's being offered by God. God offers heavenly citizenship to whoever wants to come. That's pretty good. Talk about open borders. Look at the row going on in the United States about open borders, right? And you can understand why we can't just take everybody in the whole world into the U.S. So they need to have some kind of barriers. But, you know, at the same time, you have to be compassionate and look for those who are genuine refugees and bring them in and help them, right? But listen, the whole world is a big refugee camp. We're all refugees. In a sense, we've all been devastated by sin. We've all reaped the consequences of it in our lives, and we've reaped the consequences of other people's sin has affected us. The world reeks with it. The trials, the troubles, there's enough food to feed everybody, but half the world's starving. It's just a mess. It is a real mess. Some people say, why wouldn't God come down and fix this? And I can tell you this, supposing God today said, okay, I'm going to come down, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to give everybody a little plot of land and a little house and give you enough food for every person to have all that they need in every place. How long do you think it would be before this guy says, well, I want what they've got and I'm going to get it from them? Would it take very long? Come down in a couple of years' time and see what's left. See how perfect that paradise will be. It won't be perfect because it's us that's the problem, friends. We are the wreckers. We are the wrecking ball in this world. We're the ones who bring misery. We're the ones. Don't just talk about the other person over there. Oh, yeah, I know them bad people over there. They're doing all that. We're doing it too. Selfishness and greed and hatred and envy and strife. And, you know, you don't have to go outside of Shetty Camp to find that. You can find it in Shetty Camp, can't you? You can find it in Margaret. You can find it everywhere. So we're the refugees, friends. We're the ones that are outside of the citizenship of heaven. We're the ones that have this need to become a heavenly citizen. And here's the great news, that God has offered citizenship to anybody that wants to. You know, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, it says, whosoever will may come and take the water of life freely. Whoever wants to can come. Did you get that? Whoever wants to can come. It doesn't matter. Oh, yes, but you know, I've lived a terrible life and I've done all these terrible things. I don't think I can come. Absolutely, you can come. Whoever wants to can come. Isn't that good news? I think it's amazing news. But you know, some people won't come because they're just too proud. Some people won't come because they think, I've got religion and that's enough. Religion doesn't save you. No religion. This church can't save anybody. There's no, you know, touch the walls and I'll get holy. That's not what's going to happen here. No building can save. No pastor can save you. I couldn't save you. I couldn't save myself. How can I save you? But I can point you to a Savior. That's all I can do. I can point you to the truth. I can point you to the Jesus Christ offers you citizenship. He said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said those words. He said, he invites whoever wants to can come. So what do I do with such an invitation? Wow, what should you do with such an invitation? I'm offering you citizenship to heaven, God says. All you need to do is believe in my Son. Receive what he did for you. He bought you out of this world. He paid the price so you could be in his kingdom and not in the devil's kingdom. That's what Jesus did. Years ago, and I probably told this story not long ago, but I'm going to tell it again. In Ethiopia, at the outbreak of, I believe it was the Second World War, previous to that, there were missionaries working in this village. And as they worked in this village, I think I told this story earlier on in Philippians, but as they worked in that village, there were a number of people who came to know the Lord as their Savior. But then when the war broke out, it got absolutely too dangerous to be there, and they had to leave Ethiopia. But before they had left, at one point, there was this man who was absolutely miserable. He was a slave. Slavery was predominant. And you could get out of slavery if you could pay your way, but it was impossible. He was just done for. And he was beaten every day. His life was clear misery. The missionaries, they had very little money themselves. But compared to what the Ethiopians had, they had some. And they looked at his plight. They saw how he was being treated by his master. And they pooled their resources together. And they went to the master. And they said, we want to buy your slave. Mm-hmm. Anything's up for sale. So they paid the price to buy him. So, of course, he thought, well, I was his slave. Now I'm going to be their slave. But you know what they did? They set him free. They set him free. He couldn't believe it. Neither could most of the village. You buy a slave, you use a slave in their minds. But no, they set him free. And then they had to leave. It was well after the war before they could come back. And when they came back into the village, God had worked in marvelous ways through many of them who had become believers and shared the gospel in many places. And there was a huge welcoming party of people in the villages, and from other villages had come, and they were so happy to see the missionaries again. And suddenly there was one person who broke out of the crowd and came rushing towards the missionaries, and he falls down and he's weeping and he's shouting, these are the ones who bought me. These are the ones who bought me. And it was a very touching moment for them, because it was that slave who had been set free and was so appreciative of it. My friends, if you're a citizen of heaven, somebody bought you. But he paid the ultimate price by going to the cross for your sins. If you're a citizen of heaven, when you see Jesus, Because you'll see him. Matter of fact, everyone will see him. The Bible says every eye will see him. The Bible says every knee is going to bow. The Bible says every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But if you're a citizen of heaven, when you see him, you will be falling down. You'll say, you're the one that bought me. And there'll be tears in your eyes and appreciation to see him and to praise him and to honor him. But my friend, if you're not a citizen of heaven, you can't get in. You cannot get in. The door, Jesus said, wide is the gate to destruction, and many are going in it. Narrow is the gate to life, and there are few that actually find it. But it isn't because it isn't available to all. It's available to everyone. It's wide enough that anybody can go through. The vilest sinner can be made whole. It's wide enough that whole nations can go through. But it's narrow enough that that's the only door that there is. There's only one way of salvation. Why do I know that? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father except through me. Now, he wasn't excluding women there, okay? When he said that, he meant mankind, okay? No one can get to the Father except through me, said Jesus. And, you know, it's amazing as I speak to people, I say, well, why should Jesus be the only way? And my answer is, listen, we shouldn't even have a way at all. What we've done, we don't even deserve heaven. But God was gracious to make a way. Why would I make another way? If this building was on fire and there was one door to get out, just one door, and I came rushing in and I was the fireman and I said, come on, quick, let's get out that door. And you started arguing with me and say, oh, no, I don't want that door. Let's make another door. What would you do? I'd grab something, knock them out and drag them out the door, right? I'd do everything I could to persuade them. Take the door. It's already there. You don't got to go try to find another door. If Jesus Christ is who he really is, and if he's the Son of God, and he came and died for your sins, and he paid the ultimate price, and all he does is invite you to come into him, put your faith and trust in him, why would you stay back? Why wouldn't you say, I'm coming, Jesus. I'm going through your door. Because there isn't another one. Friends, there is no other door. Citizens of heaven is offered, though. And I want us to know that. I want every one of us to know that. And listen, we have the privilege of going and inviting other people, saying, hey, listen, you can go to heaven. God is inviting you. You don't have to be afraid of death. One of the strongest strongholds in the world in the minds of people is fear of death. The Bible says all their lifetime, they are subject to slavery through the fear of death. It's like a wall that's looming in the distance. And then it starts getting closer and closer. However, that wall is not a wall. Not for me, it isn't. Not for those who know their citizenship is in heaven. I'm getting closer to the borderland every day. And I can't stop that journey, can I? Every day I'm advancing to get to that borderland. And for some of us, bang, all of a sudden we're there, standing before Almighty God. So I want to encourage every one of us, make sure you settle that matter. Make sure that you're a citizen of heaven. Make sure that you know Christ as your Savior. If you have more questions about that, you can talk to me afterwards, and I can show you in the Bible that this is not complicated. We can have Christ, and we can have heaven. Not only he said that we're a citizen of heaven, but it says we are eagerly waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't wait to see him. And when you're a citizen of heaven, that means you're leaving behind the place where you're at. What did I do with that? Oh, yeah. I'm almost done here. You're leaving behind the place where you're at. Because it says here, he's going to transform our lowly body so to be conformed to his glorious body. According to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. So, my beloved and longed for brothers, by joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Stand fast. Stick with Jesus, it says. Because he's going to do it. He's going to finish the work. And so the promise is not only the redemption of our soul, but also the redemption of the body. You know, this old body is starting to sag a little. Maybe yours isn't, mine is. There's the odd wrinkle that wasn't there 20 years ago. You know, you look and sometimes you see a picture of yourself on Facebook and, you know, 10 years ago. I don't even know who that is, right? And, you know, you can't stop it. You can make it, put makeup on until you're blue. You can get Botox and everything else. But eventually, the sags and the wrinkles are going to take over. We're advancing. And that's why it says here, he will transform our lowly body. You know, we have lowly bodies. We have earthly bodies. We have bodies that are not full. They're not. They're temporary. They're temporary houses for our souls. They aren't going to be around forever. But don't worry. He's going to transform it and conform it to the glorious body of Jesus Christ. And that is Christ who rose from the dead with a glorious body, a body that could walk through walls, a body that could eat and sit with his disciples, that could be from here and then suddenly over there. I have no idea what it's going to be like. Bible says we don't know what it's going to be like, but we're going to be like him. That's good enough for me. I'll take that. I'll take that. And so that there's no need of fear of death. There's no need of fear of judgment of Almighty God. And if anybody should fear judgment, it would be me because of my sins. But they've been paid for by Jesus Christ. There's no need to fear that the devil can somehow snatch you and pull you into hell because he can't. He would have to get around Jesus first. And he defeated the works of the devil through the cross. So my encouragement for you today, I had a lot more to say, but I'm done. Next week I'll carry on. But is this, make sure you're a citizen of heaven. No matter what else you have, you just want to make sure you have the right passport when you leave this world. And God has offered it. He says it's free. You don't have to go to Halifax and wait in line. It's free. You don't have to go through all the red tape. I remember going, first time I went to get my passport, I went down and I got the paperwork for it. And I went to see, I was short of time. So I ran over and there was a pastor there who I got to do the guarantee work. So I said, here, quick, sign this thing. So he signed it, and then I rushed back to the passport office, and I had been talking to the lady behind the counter. So then I sat down at the desk there, and I started filling it all out. And she knew I had gone to get the signature, right? She says, excuse me, are you filling out that paper? I said, yeah. Did you go get it signed? Yeah. Well, she said, I'm not going to accept that paper from you. I said, why not? He's supposed to sign it after it's all filled out. So she said, you might as well throw that in the garbage. Well, I had gone to Halifax that day for that purpose, and the day was over. So anyway, I learned a lesson, right? But I don't have to go through all that paperwork. Thank God. But I do have to make sure that things are done right. That makes sense, doesn't it? She was making sure things were done right. She was right. And God says the right way, if you want to be in my heaven, if you want to have heavenly citizenship, you need to come to Jesus Christ. So all I can say is, why not come to him? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the plainness of it, Lord, that you call us to be citizens of heaven. And I pray, Lord, that you will just touch our lives and draw us to yourself, Lord. Open our eyes. Give us eyes, spiritual eyes, to see who you really are, Jesus, and what you really did for us. Show us our sins so that we can say, Lord, I confess my sin to you. I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I acknowledge that I need you. If we don't know we're lost, we'll never get saved. But if we know we're lost, we'll come to Jesus, and you are truly a Savior, whom the Bible says you've come to seek and to save that which was lost. So we give you praise and thanks. Thank you, Father, for the meal that we have together. We ask your blessing on each of us in Jesus' name.